Good morning. Uh-oh. All right, now I'm on track. Sorry. As I was preparing for this week, I was reading some devotionals and some liturgy about our text in Hebrews for today. And as I was reading, I forgot to write down the author's name, but she said this: "Sometimes I think Christianity makes way too much noise about Jesus." And then she says, Now wait, please, don't turn the dial yet. Just hear me out. Think about it this way. Jesus has done the work that Jesus came here to do. Good Friday is over. The crucifixion is done. The resurrection is complete. Jesus returned to be with his disciples and then ascended to the Father. And in this season of Pentecost, Jesus said, "I'm sending the Holy Spirit, now go." Jesus has done the work that Jesus was called to do through the cross and through the resurrection. And then Jesus turned it over to us. The ball is in our court, as they say. How many of you have ever run track? Lauren's on a relay team, right, Mindy? Okay, so what I know about track, I mean, I ran track in like eighth grade because I'm not a good runner. But I ran the 4x200 meter dash relay, right? And so each of you runs 200 meters and passes the baton on to the next person. And one of the things that I was taught is that if you mess up your baton pass, you're done, right? It is those transitions that make up your race. In our text from Hebrews, we talk about running a race, right? So set your eyes on Jesus. Run the path that has been set before you. Jesus has passed us the baton. The hard work that Jesus came to do, that's been done for us through Jesus on the cross. And now it's up to us to run the race. It is up to us to keep this going. It is up to us to make sure that the name of Jesus Christ is echoed throughout our world. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus isn't working, right? That doesn't mean that all things don't happen through Jesus. That doesn't mean that basically everything that we do can only happen because God allows it to do. All of those things are true. But it does mean that we as the church have to take a step forward and move along this path that Jesus has called us to walk. As Jake read for us, our text in Hebrews this morning is a good one. And as he reminded me a couple days ago, he goes, "Wow, you picked a short verse for this morning," which I guess I don't usually do, maybe. You all have to keep me in check there. But it says this: Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that Jesus set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, he endured the cross. Over these past several weeks, for about the past month and a half, we have been singing through our favorite hymns, right? And I think this is our last hymn Sunday, and we will return next week to praise music. But as we have been singing our way through the hymnal, we've also been talking about the stories behind some of our favorite hymns. And our hymn today is "The Old Rugged Cross." Favorite of anyone in here? Who put that down on their list for us to sing today? This is an old favorite of many, many people. And as I have sung this over the years and I've thought about the cross, one of the things that I left seminary with was confusion and misunderstanding about the cross. So I went through 5 years of seminary and I walked out and I said, I'm still not sure what I believe about this. I still don't know what the atonement means to me. And honestly, this week gave me more clarity than 5 years of seminary ever did, than any class I ever took. This week, studying this specific scripture helped me out a whole lot. And we're going to talk about the story of the old rugged cross at the end of our service. But the author of this text obviously focuses a whole lot on the cross, right? And what the cross means. And in Hebrews, we are told to focus our eyes upon Jesus, who did what? Who endured the cross. And for me, as I've been studying this week, what I've discovered about the cross is the cross tells us what it means for us to be as Christians. And I think it's calling us to go more all in than we've ever gone before. We kind of have some options as Christians when we think about this race that we want to run in our lives. The first is we can kind of put our feet in a little bit. How many of you like to go swimming and just like, or to the beach and you just put your feet in the water? All right. And you're like, oh, it's too cold, right? I don't want to go any farther. And then you have people like me who are kind of like a middle of the road kind of person who like to get in about waist deep. And when it starts to get too high, you're like, whoa, can't go anymore. It's too dangerous of water out there. There's a quote that someone has written that the middle of the road, the only thing, there's a line down the middle and the only thing there is dead armadillos. There's some quote like that. Have you heard that before? Ah, there you go. Yeah, so the middle of the road, not a good place to be, right? And then the last option in our Christian journey is we can go all in. As I was telling the board this morning, gambling is not a good thing, except when it comes to our faith in Jesus. We are called to go all in a little bit. And this is what our text in Hebrews is telling us today. If you read the very, very beginning of this text, it says the word therefore, right? So therefore means something had to precede it, right? It's telling us this big, long thing, and then therefore, here is the lesson to be learned. So I started to ask, well, what comes before the therefore? And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, if you have one of those Bibles that gives headers at the top, it says faith in action in this part. And over again, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, the assurance of what we do not see. And then he goes through this biblical litany of individuals from the very beginning of our history up until Jesus. And he says, by faith Abel brought God an altar, a better offering than Cain did. By faith Enoch was taken from this life. By faith Noah was warned. By faith Abraham went to places he was. Over again, we hear this message, by faith, these people went out. And so when we come to verse 29, we hear this. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, what happened to the Egyptians? They were drowned, right? Fell after an army marched around them for seven days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Samuel and the prophets who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. And then he said, these were all commended by faith, yet none of them received what they had promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us could we be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. These individuals we hear about in our biblical text over and over and over again, we learn about their faith and their perseverance and all of the trials that they endured, right? If you remember after the flood, Noah's life was kind of a struggle, right? Abraham, his life, kind of a struggle. None of these individuals had perfect lives simply because they followed God. Their lives were rough and hard. And yet, by faith, they endured. Just like Jesus endured the cross. And so for me, as I think about what the cross means, it's that Jesus endures with us when we follow Jesus by faith. That Jesus on the cross is Jesus saying to us, no matter what you are going through, if you are following me, I'm going to be there with you. When you go all in, I go all in too, Jesus says. I can't imagine a bigger gamble than the one Jesus took on the cross, right? For him to say to God the Father, God, whatever your will be done. And for Jesus to go through that whole journey on Calvary and to be hung on a cross and to die for our sins. And in that moment, Jesus is saying to us, all of the pain that you take on, I take that on with you because I am there for you wherever you might go. The story of Hebrews that we just read is a really interesting text if you continue to read the whole book. Because one of the things that you discover when you are reading Hebrews is that often the folks in that this is being written to are often discouraged. They're often turned away. How many times have you ever been discouraged in the life of the church? Ever? Sometimes. I know I have been discouraged frequently. And so the author of Hebrews is saying that even when you are discouraged, even when you are weary, even when you are tired and burnt out, when you don't want to come to another board meeting, when you don't want to sit through another finance meeting, when you don't want to pick any more wall colors or plan any more events, that Jesus is with us through that. Now, I don't want to discount the true pain and persecution that the people in this time endured. We are extremely lucky, right, that we can come to church and not have to worry about people hunting us down. That we can put Jesus bumper stickers on our car and not worry about our safety. That we can worship openly and honestly in our world. But so often I wonder, are we scared to really be all in? Are we scared to really worship and practice in such a way that honors Jesus? Are we willing to really get out of our comfort zones and be the church that Jesus called us to be? There are so many places in our lives that God calls us to give up, that may cause a little bit of pain, that may cause a little bit of discomfort. And even when that happens, what we are reminded of in Hebrews is that Jesus is with us, that Jesus continues to endure for us on the cross. The song, The Old Rugged Cross, is an oldie but a goodie, right? It was written in 1913, so it is not the oldest of the hymns that we have looked at over these past few weeks, but it's still pretty old, right? A little over 100 years. And it was written by George Bennard. And so let's hear his story for a moment. Since he was born in Youngstown, Ohio, shortly after the end of the Civil War. His father was a coal miner, and he moved the family to Iowa. And there, George came to Christ through the ministry of the Salvation Army. So see, the Salvation Army, it doesn't just give away clothes or sell clothes for cheap, right? You can also learn about Jesus there. He felt impressed to train for the ministry, but his plans were disrupted when his father died, and he became responsible for his mother's and his sister's. I often wonder in our lives how often things go awry and not according to plan, right? Seems like that's what happened in his life. When he was 16, instead of going to theological school, he worked by day and devoted his spare time to books. Eventually, his obligation lessened, and he was able to move to Chicago, and he married, and he began ministry with the Salvation Army, and later he was ordained in the Methodist Episcopal Church and became a traveling evangelist. On one occasion, after a difficult season in ministry, George realized he needed to better understand the power of the cross of Christ. Something I often think about too. What is the meaning of the cross? He later said, "I was praying for full understanding of the cross. I read and I studied and I prayed. The Christ of the cross became more than a symbol. It was like seeing John 3:16 leave the printed page, take form, and act out meaning of redemption. While watching this scene with my mind's eye, the theme of the song came to me." It took several months for it to formulate in his mind. And finally, at last, when he had finished it, he went to the home of some of his friends. And after the last note, he looked at them and he asked, "Will it do?" And they said, "Yes." And they gave money to have it printed, and it started to appear in hymn books across America. And as we read and sing these words, "The Old Rugged Cross," I think it really does inform our theology a little bit. And one of the things I think of every time I sing this hymn is that we are called to cling to the cross. Not because we're called to cling to the past, or we are called to cling to violence or to atonement, but because we are called to cling to Jesus, who continues to be with us in our most difficult pain. That no matter where we go in our lives, that the cross is something that we continue to take with us. Not just as a memory burned in the back of our minds, but as something we walk toward. The cross becomes a promise for us that everywhere we walk, that every step we take, we are called to run a life full of faith and perseverance led by Jesus. So as we close this morning, we're going to sing one verse of "The Old Rugged Cross," and I'm going to make Jake lead that for us, and not me. Yep. Let us pray. God Almighty, in whatever season we might be in life, whether it is a season of pain and sorrow or a season of joy and praise, God, we know that you are there. God, we learn from your message to us through the writer of Hebrews, O God, that it was by faith that so many of those who came before us were able to persevere. That even if they led difficult lives, that even if things did not go according to plan, O God, that they still experienced your love and your promise. God, today I ask that we could jump more all in, that we could be more like the great cloud of witnesses who came before us and who continue on with us, O God, and that we can remember that your cross is a sign of endurance. It is a sign that you show up for us, that you are with us in our pain and in our suffering, and God, that you bring us forward to the promise of resurrection. God, we know that you are calling us to do something more, that you are calling us to continue on this race, and that you are calling us to be the church of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.